This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. By the time they leave kindergarten, kids are supposed to have learned the building blocks of literacy. They should be able to connect letters to sounds and spell simple words like cat and book. But for the estimated 1 in 5 children with dyslexia, those basic skills aren't so easy to master. Without extra help, dyslexic children can face a lifetime of learning difficulties. And many parents and advocates say that Michigan schools are not equipped to provide the kind of extra help these dyslexic students really need. Carolyn Kaganov is one of those parents. Her son, Evan, just finished first grade in the Ann Arbor Public School System and was diagnosed with severe dyslexia. Also with us is speech pathologist Dr. Joanne Pearson. She's a founding partner of the Literacy, Language, and Learning Institute based in Ann Arbor. She's also the project manager for the University of Michigan's Dyslexia Help Project. Welcome to you both.
Thanks for listening to our story.
Well, Carolyn, I want to start with you. Evan was diagnosed with dyslexia as a first grader.
In January of 2016, he was diagnosed with dyslexia, dysgraphia, and dyscalculia, which is basically a learning disability in reading, writing, and math. He was diagnosed as having severe.
Severe. During his first grade. When did you begin to sense that things were not as they should be in the learning process for Evan?
I kind of always knew. He had speech problem when he was young, which is very common for children with dyslexia. But everyone was like, oh, people learn at different rates. And then he was in kindergarten and he just hated it. And I have an 11-year-old who went through the public school system. And it just, I could see the difference. And then he hated it so much and he was so behind that we discussed and we retained him. So he actually did kindergarten in the public school system twice. Our next year in public school, it went fine. And my goal for him was really that he just enjoy school. And it's a place that children have to go to for a very long time. And you don't want them to, you know,
to dread it.
Yes. That's not what you want. You want them to really embrace learning because they have to do it for a very long time. They do it forever, you know? So his second year in kindergarten went really well. Actually, he came out on target at the end of that year for everything. And then over the summer, because I still felt like
things
were not sure.
Right.
I'm just not sure, right? Mm. So I sent him to a tutoring program. And then he went to first grade. And 10 days into first grade, the teacher, who is phenomenal, calls me and says, Caroline, we have to talk. We have a problem. And before I even got there, I knew what the problem was. Mm. And actually, the public school system did evaluation of Evan. And they came back to me and said, you know, Evan is just low across the board and there's nothing we can do. Apparently, there's this rule in special ed, which obviously I know nothing about special ed at this stage, that if you're low across the board, then that's just your expectation. Not my child is reading in the first percentile and there's something we need to do about this. Just it's low across the board. And I said, you know what?
Which means we're dialing back the expectations.
Exactly.
Joanne, you're nodding, mm-hmm. So you've heard this mm-hmm. before.
Mm-hmm. So I was like, no, you're missing what I see. I see this bright, smart child mm-hmm. who has an amazing vocabulary, who can tell when people are sad. He has such empathy for other people around him. And he's curious. And he is an amazing problem solver. And I'm like, you're missing this. So they did tell me, you know, he has some attention issues. And I was like, those attention issues are related to the academic side of things. Because at home, he doesn't have those attention issues. So I asked for an independent evaluation.
And that's the one where you got the diagnosis.
And that is the one where I got the diagnosis.
So when you circled back to the school with that diagnosis, what happened?
Well, before I got that diagnosis, I did a lot of research. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, to the special ed teacher, I think my child has dyslexia. And I got an answer I wasn't expecting. Lots of children in the school system have dyslexia. And there's nothing we do for children with dyslexia. And I was like, no, that can't be right, you know? Mm-hmm. So by the time it came time for me to have an IEP meeting, which is an individualized education plan, I was already apprehensive about this. And I don't know if you've ever been to an IEP meeting. It's very intimidating for a parent. You go in there, at my IEP meeting, including me, there were 9 people. Those people around the table, 6 of them I didn't even really know, you know?
All from the school.
And they're telling you things and your goal is to come out of there with a plan to ensure your child achieves literacy.
So you came away with an IEP. Were you satisfied with this?
During the IEP process, I found something that actually is very prevalent during all IEP processes with children with dyslexia is the public school seems to not want to use the word dyslexia. And this is not my opinion. This is a fact because Michael Uden, who is the Assistant Secretary of the Department of Education for the United States, wrote a letter because he needed to bridge the gap between parents and public schools so that everyone knew it's okay to use this word. And I was told we don't use that label. We treat to the child's individual needs and go from there, which makes total sense, except if you have dyslexia, because mm-hmm. you need to know that, because otherwise you can't say I'm dyslexic, and that's not an intelligence issue. It's a learning difference.
All right. And with that, I want to turn to Joanne Pearson as a speech pathologist, partner manager with University of Michigan's Dyslexia Help Project. And I think a lot of people, Joanne, think dyslexia means reading words backwards. But that doesn't begin to cover what this means. So give us a sense of what dyslexia actually looks like.
And that is very true. Many people think of it as reversing letters, which is not dyslexia at all. Many children reverse letters as they're learning to read. Dyslexia is a language-based learning disorder. And these children have difficulties perceiving the sounds in our language. So the word cat, we'll keep it very plain, mm-hmm. cat, they may not be able to parse out those sounds. This is in the absence of seeing any letters, just to hear cat and know it is made up of a k. At. So they have difficulty taking words apart and putting words back together. That is one of the bottom defining characteristics, one of the key defining characteristics of dyslexia. They also may have problems with rapid automatic naming, pulling up words and symbols quickly. When we were talking about preschool children, these kids may have difficulty saying words. I recently assessed a little guy who was looking at these pictures and the test was getting really hard. And he looked at me and he said, how am I getting all of these? I'm instructable. He meant indestructible. His dyslexic brain had heard those words and dropped out a syllable. So we frequently will see that. Then these kids will have problems, one, with the sounds of our language, and then you have to learn how to map those sounds onto the letters of our language. So you take a word like cat, it's pretty straightforward, k, at, three sounds, three letters. You take a word like sleigh, as in the sleigh you ride in, you've still got three sounds, three phonemes, as we say, s-l-a, but all of a sudden you have six letters for three sounds. So then that's another level that we need to get at. And these kids then can have difficulties with reading comprehension, writing. If they have difficulty with verbal expression, that's going to cause problems with writing, phonological memory, remembering sounds and words that can affect them in both reading and writing.
So looking down the road with these students,
yes.
Let's say they don't get the kind of extra and special help they need. What kind of impact can that have on their learning through the rest of their life?
Well, first of all, across the curriculum. So we may see kids who are at Caroline's son's level, first grade, who have difficulty just accessing the words, right? They mm-hmm. cannot learn to decode the words. You have a lot of kids who are dyslexic, but they get through those early years because there's so much support by the teacher, and at that time you are learning to read. We also see a peak, so to speak, a spike at the fourth grade level. We call it the fourth grade slump because now all of a sudden you have to know how to decode. You have to know how to read. You are now required to use your reading to learn. If you cannot access the same text that your peers are accessing, you cannot develop the vocabulary. You're not exposed to the same vocabulary
as your
peers. You're
not succeeding academically.
Exactly. And then we can see it again, say middle school, when the demands become even more difficult, high school, on through life, and it can affect people in the workforce. And I think Caroline made a good point that the word dyslexia is very important. I start talking with my peewees. about dyslexia and that you have dyslexia, because it helps them understand what is going on with them.
And that it's not their fault and it's not a character thing.
Exactly. And it's not an intellect
issue. Yes. All of the above. Now, when a student in public school, Joanna, is diagnosed with dyslexia, as Caroline's son Evan was, what are schools supposed to be doing?
Dyslexia falls under the Michigan Administrative Rules for Special Education, the MARS rules, under specific learning disability. The word is there in the code. Mm-hmm. With all students who are in special education, they design an individual educational plan.
The IEP.
That is exactly, yeah. The IEP that is designed around their strengths and their weaknesses. And then goals and objectives are developed, to be developed, toward those weak areas. And then the student gets the necessary intervention specific to their needs.
So here we hear Carolyn's story that they didn't want to use that word dyslexia. Why do you think that is? Why would a school be reluctant to put that word into the child's IEP?
Well, historically, this is back in the day, so to speak, dyslexia was seen as a medical diagnosis, whereas we are now in an educational system, right? And there was a bifurcation of that kind of, you know, the medical diagnosis versus educational. We need to look at it that dyslexia is an inability to learn to read, spell, and write. It's the job of our schools to teach kids to read, spell, and write. And so I think we've had this historical way of being. And there are some school districts. I've worked with a couple of school districts who are getting on board with this relative to getting their teachers the training to meet the needs of these kids. And it goes back to, you know, teaching our teachers in the teacher education programs. It's at a policy level in Lansing. It's sort of pervasive across the board.
I have to ask, and whichever of you wants to tackle this, is there a cost issue? Does it cost a district more if that dyslexia term is used and other interventions are needed versus, oh, well, it's ADHD and perhaps prescriptions and medication is the answer?
Well, ADHD is not under the Special Education Code of Michigan, okay, for one thing. But relative to the cost, this is a child with a specific learning disability. The costs are there whether you identify the child with an SLD, specific learning disability, in basic reading or reading comprehension versus whether you call the child dyslexia.
That was Joanne Pearson speaking, speech pathologist. We're also here with Carolyn Kaganov, whose son Evan just wrapped up first grade in public school in Ann Arbor and during that year was diagnosed with severe dyslexia. What were your biggest frustrations during this whole process, Caroline?
Since I'm, you know, on the other side of it, my biggest frustration is that I know my child will achieve literacy because I will ensure that my child achieves literacy. And I really worry about the fact that 1 in 5 children have some form of dyslexia. Mm-hmm. Here I am, and I'm like, no, these are requirements. This is not an option. Literacy is not an option for any child.
And did you feel that was the school's position? I mean, I'm trying to get a sense of
No, I honestly feel like they want to help. Yeah. I feel like they do want to help, but I feel like they don't know how to help. Their hands are somewhat tied. So the identification process is a problem because I'm astute enough to say, I want my child to have an IEA. If I just stopped at their evaluation, then I have a child whose his level is down here and that's it, you know? Mm-hmm. And there were barriers. Like I made that appointment, and to make that appointment, I had to give them my credit card. Not everybody has a credit card. You get a piece of paper that says, you know, you'll be responsible for these charges if it's a case that comes back the same outcome as me. Well, what happens to the parent who doesn't have $2,500 to ensure that this happens? So right there, I worry. I worry about the identification of these children. According to Every Student Succeeds Act, it says that we have to use evidence-based screening assessments for early identification, and this was about dyslexia, not later than kindergarten. It says not later. That's federally mandated, okay? And that didn't happen in a very, very good public school system.
Now tell us, Evan's getting outside assistance. How are things with Evan now getting ready for second grade?
We went to outside intervention. We sent him 2 hours a day before school, 4 days a week, and 3 hours at the weekend for one-on-one intervention. Mm-hmm. That intervention was not cheap. It was $18,000 for 18 weeks.
And going right back to the fact that how many people could afford that?
Cindy, mm-hmm. I have to be honest. You know what my child learned out of that? The alphabet. He's really good at the alphabet now. He learned how to decode words in a way that he can look at a word and go, cat, cat. If he's reading the word cat on every single page, he has to say cat, mm-hmm. cat. So it's hard for me because I know that the law says my child is entitled to a free and appropriate public education, right? And I feel like although everybody wanted to help my child, that my child didn't get. There was nothing free about mm-hmm. sending him mm-hmm. to learn the alphabet. Mm-hmm. If it was really appropriate, I feel like I would have had a plan that entailed his strengths. And I was told during the IEP meeting at the top when we were doing his strengths, and I could talk about my child's strengths all day long. You know, we don't want to highlight those things because it's an IEP. We want to work on the weaknesses. But my child, his brain doesn't function like everyone else's.
You know your child. And one of the things about dyslexia is that, you know, here we've got a preschooler who's pretty much cooking along. They may have speech and language problems, but they're making friends. They're having a good mm-hmm. time. They can build
socializing.
They can build the most amazing Lego structure or lead you through the most amazing interactive, imaginative game. And then all of a sudden they send their child to school and this is not the kid they know. I think believe in that and then understand on Dyslexia Help, I have how to walk through the special education system. So to understand that you as a parent have a right to make a request for a special education referral. And you can go and talk to the people in your special education office. Every public school district has one. And then you're going to have to get knowledgeable. And one of the books I recommend is Sally Shaywitz's Overcoming Dyslexia. Dr. Shaywitz published this book in 2003, and she wrote it for parents. And it still remains current as to what we know about diagnosing dyslexia and then what we know about how to treat dyslexia.
I think we'll have to leave it there, but it's certainly a lesson that people can learn from your experience, Carolyn, with your son, Evan. Carolyn Kaganoff, parent of a dyslexic child, and speech pathologist, Dr. Joanne Pearson, who's a founding partner of the Literacy, Language, and Learning Institute based in Ann Arbor and the project manager for the University of Michigan's Dyslexia Help Project. Can people turn to the Dyslexia Help Project?
Absolutely. This is a private-funded project at the University of Michigan that they can find dyslexiahelp.umich.edu.
Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, Joanne.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
And Carolyn, thank you for sharing Evan's story.
Thank you very much.